With all that said, I want to invite your attention to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. Would you turn there with me? The Gospel according to Luke, and our message for the morning is going to be coming from the 18th chapter and the 31st through 34th verse of Scripture. Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. And our reading will come from the 31st through 34th verse of Scripture. I hope you've turned on your Bible and you made your way there. God's word declares, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit on. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will raise.' But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." Journey back with me in verse 31. As Jesus takes the 12 aside, he says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is said about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." The time that is ours to share, I would like for us to consider the faithfulness of Christ with this thought in our minds: his suffering for our salvation. Father, as we engage your word, it is our humble request that you allow your word to engage us. That it would take deep root in our hearts, that we would forever be changed by the truth of your word, the truth of your conviction, the truth of your love for each and every one of us, that we might be able to love you better and love each other more, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Avery Lamell. I am a lover of the Lord. I am a father. I have the proud privilege of being the father of four manifestations of love. I want to give you my resume. My four manifestations of love: three boys and a girl. I love them dearly. God knows there's nothing I would not do for my family. I remember one morning I got a call from my son. My son, who's the youngest of the boys, he gave me a call because he was staying over at a friend's house. I need to introduce you to him for a moment here, because he's the kind that enjoys being home. He likes to be home. He doesn't like to be away from home. And yet he called because one of his friends wanted him to stay at their home. And so I dropped him off. I told you it was the morning, right? I did tell you that. You still with me in here? Yeah, it was the morning time. But I didn't tell you it was early in the morning, did I? No, it was about 2 in the morning that he called, because he had somewhat of an expiration on his wanting to experience friends' houses. And he says, "Daddy, I need you to come get me. I want you to get this." And so 2 in the morning. And of course, I love my kids and I would do all I can for them. I mean, you've been there, Ryan. You love them. And so here I am. I get the phone call. I began to drive to make my way to get him. And so I pick him up. Did I tell you it was 2 in the morning? Yeah. And I pick him up and I retrieve him from the home because he was in a different place. He said, "Daddy, I didn't know those people, didn't know where I was, and I just prefer to be home." On our way home at 2:30 by now, we're driving home. There happened to be a storm. A storm had come. I kind of saw it happening in the distance. I always keep track of what's happening in our forecast. A storm was happening in the distance, and here we were driving at 2:30 in the morning on our way home. And so I'm driving, telling him we're about to drive into a storm. Then he tells me, "Well, Daddy, if you knew it was going to storm, why'd you come and get me?" I won't forget that. I said, "Son, because I don't mind driving in a storm to get you, to bring you home." I'm trying to help you understand something as we open and engage this text. in this text, we have our devoted deliverer, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is standing looking in forethought, not afterthought, in forethought of what it's going to take to bring us home. I hope you get this, because the text opens up and it says that Jesus pulls his apostles, the disciples, to the side, and he tells them, don't miss the language here, he tells them exactly what is going to happen. He says, see, we are going to Jerusalem. You didn't close your Bibles yet, did you? He said, see, we're going there. See, everything that is written about me in the prophets will be accomplished. Hold on now. Then he tells them what's going to be written, what was written by the prophets, that he would be delivered, that he would be mocked, that he would be beaten, that he would be flogged. And he knew this, that Christ knew that there was a storm in front of him. He knew that he was going into a storm, and he still went. What would compel our Savior to go to a place of hostility, knowing what was before him, and not stopping, not turning around, but being ever committed to going through the storm? He told us. Do you remember in John 3:16? He told us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Why did our Savior set his sights on Jerusalem? Can I just tell you shortly? He did it because he loved you. Oh, you look like you don't believe me. Don't turn your neighbor right quick and just tell him. Tell him right quick. Tell him. He did it because he loves you. I don't think they believe you. The Bible says, let me get a testimony from Scripture. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Why would Christ be willing to go the distance for you and I? I do not want you to forget this. No matter what happens in life, no matter what circumstances you find yourself faced with, you must always remember as a child of God that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was motivated by his love for you. He is motivated by his love for us. And I'm excited. Can you tell I'm excited about that? I'm excited about that because the reality is God loved us in spite of us. This is why we gather to worship, because he loves us. Knowing that he would be betrayed, knowing that he would suffer, knowing that he would be bled, knowing that he would go through the gruesome agony of crucifixion. And he did it because he didn't want us to have to. Jesus chose, he chose to be our substitute. He chose to serve as our substitute. Brothers and sisters, I hope you understand that he took our place. Jesus Christ, in his love for us, took our place. We deserve to die. We deserve the full wrath of punishment that came from the stain of sin. And hold on, just in case anybody feels like you're obsolete in this discussion, let me check here. Has anyone in here sinned besides me? Anybody here? Oh, no, you didn't read the Bible, did you? Romans said it this way, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is a good time for you to nudge somebody and say, yeah, you too. We're all in this thing. We've all sinned, and we needed a substitute. And our Savior came he came to be our substitute, to stand in our place, to take our place, because he loved us so much, he didn't want us to have to bear the penalty of our sins. I hope you get this, brothers and sisters. Because in all that we know, we ought to know that God loves us. All that we sing and all that we celebrate, we ought to know that God loves us. He loved us enough to serve as our substitute. That in our place, he chose to come and take our place. Which also means, secondly, brothers and sisters, that not only did he choose to be our substitute, but Jesus, our Savior, when he places his face toward Jerusalem, and he's conveying that everything he's going to do will be accomplished. Everything that the scripture said would happen, like Isaiah that says he'll be despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, that he knew this would happen. He knew that he would be rejected. He knew that people would spit on him, and he still continued to do it because he loves you. He loves us. I can't say it enough that he chose to suffer out of his love for us. The Bible says, he says that he's going to be flogged. John, he's going to go and give his body to the point of death. They called it in Roman culture the cat of nine tails, that was used as an instrument of brutality to inflict very gruesome harm upon the human body. The cat of nine tails was used to flog. It was a whip-like instrument that's made of bone and rock and glass, designed to strip away the flesh. I get it. It's gruesome. Yes, the cross is gruesome. And sometimes we ought to stop trying to sanitize the cross, when the reality is it was tragic. It was execution. The Romans themselves majored in executing. They took joy in the mastery of taking life. And here Christ comes as a substitute and says, even though my children, even though the world deserves this kind of death, I will do it for them because of my love for them. And I was listening to some younger people, none of you, but some younger people. They were talking about the hymns and how oftentimes they were not impressed by the hymns because there was something gruesome about the hymns, where it says, on the old rugged cross, at the cross where I first saw it. They thought it was a gruesome picture, that we are saved by the blood that poured out from Emmanuel's vein. They said it's a gruesome picture. Can I tell you the truth? That when you look at what Jesus Christ really has done for you and I, when you look at the fact that he willingly gravitated to Calvary, when you look at the fact that he was committed to going the distance for you and I, it's a gruesome picture. But it is a picture of immeasurable love. That Jesus was willing to serve as a substitute, but he's willing to suffer even of separation. That as he set his face to Calvary, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. As he turned to them and said, the scriptures will be fulfilled, he was remembering us, that we needed deliverance. We needed a Savior. We could not make it without him. He remembered us as he made his way up to Calvary, and he suffered separation. There he was on the cross. You don't mind me preaching about the cross, do you? If you do or not, I got the mic. I'm going to preach anyway. On the cross, he remembered us. On the cross, while his blood was being shed and his arms are stretched out wide, he remembers you and I. And can you hear him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross, he's there. He's stretched wide. And he turns in love to a sinner, and he tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. He remembers us. Knowing what he has to go through, he chose to remember us. As he looked with love on his mother and his faithful follower, John, and he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He remembered you. And he felt the separation of his father, the fellowship with the father, when he turns his face to glory and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was remembering you. See, Jesus chose to endure the separation that came, taking on sin upon himself. Jesus, thirdly, Jesus chose to grant satisfaction for the wrath of God upon sin. For the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And so there he was on the cross, and as scripture would be foretold, and he says, I thirst. He says, it is finished. That the penalty has been paid for. As he remembered you and I. And then he turns and shares all with all of us what it means when we're going through struggles to know how we can turn on the Father. And he says, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. Why did he do it? Why would he suffer? Why would he suffer that separation to grant the satisfaction that only his blood could, that you and I could be saved? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus went all the way, y'all. He went all the way for us. He gave his all for you and I. You know, I'm mindful of the 68 Olympics. 68 Olympics, there was a runner out of the country of Tanzania. He was chosen by his country to run, and it really made me think about it, Brother John, when I considered Christ's willingness to go all the way for us. He was chosen to represent his country, and there he was on the starting line. And as he was going to run in this race, many runners began to go ahead of him because he had fallen, and because he's fallen, he was battered and bruised, but he got up, he bandaged up his wound, and he kept trying to run the race. But the other runners went by, and they blew past Ethiopia coming in first, and others had gone in from other countries, and he just kept running his race. But it took him so long, John, because the misery, the pain that was broken on the inside of him, that others who were in the stands began to leave. Fans now had dissipated and things became rather grim, but he kept on running. Others were trying to encourage him. The race is over. It is done. But he continued to run. And finally, he hobbled across the finish line. One reporter came to him as he was battered and bruised and said, asked him very, very, very keenly, why didn't you give up? Why didn't you give in? Why didn't you throw in the towel? I won't ever forget this, you all. He said, the runner said, because my country didn't choose me to start the race. They chose me to finish it. Our Savior looked at humanity. Before the foundation of the world, he saw you by name. He saw me by name. He looked at what we needed, and he said that he would come, and he wouldn't just come to start it. He would come to finish it, to go all the way because of his love for us. On Calvary, he remembered you. He remembered me because he loved us. And as out of that love, he chose to provide us salvation. That when we cling to Christ, we're saved. But we're saved by grace, and it is a gift of God that Christ Jesus would love us enough to die for us. On the cross, he remembered you. When we come to the table, we remember him. We remember that he loved us enough to die for us. Remember, he loved us enough to give his body to be broken for you and I. He loved us enough to save us. Now, will we love him enough to serve him?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.